Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
if I had $1 million, if I had.
Welcome up, Fake Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom. This is Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 12, Dow Futures up 109, NASDAQ Futures up 49, as we're trying to go for like 7 days in a row. We're drinking this Fed High. And I think we dodged kind of a bullet, and maybe a self-made bullet in Mexico, but we dodged it no matter what.
We created the bullet, and then we shot the bullet, and then we dodged the bullet.
Well,
other than the fact that the tariffs are not imposed, what really happened? I mean, there was a threat of tariffs, which
that's my point. Like, we created the bullet, we put it in the gun, we shot it at ourselves, and then we dodged it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it was a self-made crisis.
If you believe what the administration is telling you, and actually, I don't know that much about it. I mean, nobody really knows what the whole thing is going down that border unless you've been down there or whatever, which I have not been. But I think the idea that all three countries look to figure out what the hell to do about this, even those talks being going specifically, even if you had to hold a gun to their head figuratively, probably was not a bad idea.
When you say three countries, you mean Guatemala?
Yeah, and Mexico. Okay, the idea that, and I don't know if they were all that okay with it. All you hear is the press here, and even though the president is nothing but sound off like a whatever about the press here. I'm really surprised. I mean, I'm actually kind of, well, maybe not. I mean, Manny knows better than me. But the press today's world, Manny, have you seen any embedded or anybody writing articles from Guatemala on what's happening down there, how these people are leaving, why they're leaving, how the family picks up and goes? I mean, the idea of leaving your home to walk 2,000 miles through another country that probably isn't even the safest on earth and try and go to another place where they don't want you, the idea of doing that. Now, I've not read anything intelligent about this whole, I don't know of anybody who's embedded themselves in one of the groups that's walking up this way. I mean, it seems like we're totally in a vacuum, other than we got a president ranting and raving about murders and rapists and everything else, which I think is pretty ignorant. But, I really haven't, where can you get the true story, I guess, is my question. I mean, who are the people are, why are they leaving, what are conditions in Guatemala, what's the walk up here like? Is it even a walk, or do you get rides? Do you take the bus? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, how do you find out? Is there any news other than people tweeting about the thing?
I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, you're right. I haven't seen any anybody like a reporter embedded with one of the caravans that are coming up here. It seems, however, though, like the three countries, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, are pretty violent places with a lot of threats to the people who live there, who don't get involved with the gangs and just leave because whatever the uncertainty is of trying to get to the United States or to Mexico is better than what's going on in their countries as far as poverty and safety.
Well, that's what you would think, but what I'm saying, it's been a while now without any sort of a, you know, 5-page expose saying, here's a guy or a lady and why they, what they used to do down there, what their family was like, what caused them to say, all right, today's the day, pack up your backpack and let's get out of here. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think at this point we would have some knowledge instead of just a bunch of tweets.
Right. Well, I don't think it's people saying pack up and leave. I think it's the folks saying this is too dangerous for us to leave. And
I meant the people themselves saying, all right, you know, kids, get the mm-hmm. stuff together, let's go. I mean, it's still, no matter what you do, I mean, you know, look at the Irish. I mean, I'm sure people stayed there until the last second before you didn't have anything left to eat in a potato farm. Mm-hmm. And even then, how'd you pay for your passage?
Well, it's not only the Irish, but you look at the Jewish diaspora too. That yeah. when they were punished and they're persecuted in their countries, they left. You know, I think that's historical narrative for, you know, certainly for our country. When you think about people who came over in waves, you know, the Irish, the Jews, the Polish, the Italians, they are all leaving a worse set of conditions than were available here. I mean, this concept is nothing new.
Well, I understand that, but I guess I never really understood. I mean, the first people, there's got to be somebody who made it over the first time from Italy, my other half, to the U.S. and is living in Columbus or Chicago or someplace and said, just get here, you can stay with me for a while, I got a job, things are better. That part I can understand. The first guy just saying, well, it's so bad here, it's got to be better there, and, mm-hmm. and head off into steerage or something. I mean, like, remember the movie The Immigrants? Ugh. I mean, I just say that takes a sturdy soul.
Mm-hmm.
Or incredible desperation, one or the other.
Or both.
Or both.
Because even if you got the desperation, you still have to have the stamina and the fortitude to make it across.
I would say, yeah. But the actual real news on it now, you know, if Kath wasn't so busy at the bank and she was still helping us out, I'm sure somewhere she'd be winging us stuff from the Financial Times or somebody. You know, somebody is writing up some of this stuff someplace. You know, maybe the Journal Economy or somewhere. But you don't see it in any kind of news that we get. I mean, and I check this stuff pretty much all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is kind of unusual that we don't have any of those reports from anybody. From any of the news sources. I mean, even people on one side, far on one side or the other, whether it's a conservative report like Fox News trying to disengage or prove falsehoods, or something like MSNBC or CNN on the other side that lean the other way to show what's really going on. You're right, that is very unusual.
I don't, how come the less actual news we get, the more opinionated everybody is?
It's easy to be opinionated if you don't have the facts.
As they used to say on the trading floor, never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think it's true that when we tend to listen to the side that supports where we want to be.
You're looking for affirmation, not information?
Yep.
Is that what you're telling me?
I think that's true, and I think that's what the political folks on both sides, the conservative and the progressives, are relying upon, that you don't need the facts. I mean,
right.
I saw a report about a week or so ago where a woman was being interviewed about the Mueller report, and her comment was that I was surprised to hear that there was anything negative in the Mueller report, because even though I watched Fox News, I had not heard that there was one disparaging or untrue or comment anti-Trump that said anything about Trump obstructing justice or anything else in the Mueller report. I didn't think that existed. I thought it was a complete exoneration.
Well, she's got an absolute idiot to think that. Everybody said that from day one, even Mueller's summary.
Mm-hmm. I know, but her point was that her news sources were such that she didn't believe that there was that even the comment that we cannot exonerate him never existed, or any of the indices of any kind of obstruction that were laid out in the Mueller report even existed. And she was shocked when it was shown to her.
Well,
so my point is that there is that affirmation, that people are looking for the affirmation. They don't do the research to find out what's true or not. You know, they less than 2% of the folks have looked at or read any part of the Mueller report.
I was actually, who was telling me, Steph was reading it. And she said, you know, you get to a part where it's redacted, but it's not as redacted as she thought.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you can read it. If you do, it's more, way more damaging than what Barr leads you to believe.
Oh, I agree. I've started to read. I've skimmed part of it too.
But same token, we're this far into. I mean, if I'm, you know, if I was still a Democrat, my advice would be, don't back up from holding this guy's feet to the fire in terms of making sure he's got all, I mean, he goes out of his way. I mean, anybody who, I mean, if, when you're in the middle, I mean, I'll be blunt. I never liked the man long before he got in there, but you got to understand, I think you should listen to what he says. The thing the other day was, whatever decision he makes on the tariff is his alone to make.
Mm-hmm.
The man is a dictator in waiting.
Right.
Don't anybody think for a second he's not. And the, which, you know, having an ego and being a president are probably pretty, you know, most people that are presidents probably have a reasonable ego, I would think.
Yes.
But the, I, you know, this whole, but I mean, still, as a Democrat, just, you got how many months? A year from November, just win.
Mm-hmm.
Put somebody there who makes sense that you can all sit down and shut up for a while the guy runs or lady runs. And, somebody good, somebody that most people can identify with, and just run and win. And the rest of the stuff, just let it go.
Well, I don't think you can let it go.
I mean, you don't need it right now. You don't need an impeachment. I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, I go back and forth on whether impeachment proceedings should be put forward at this point, because I think it is too partisan right now. And my base of comparison is what happened in the 70s with Nixon. And
well, Kennedy's ratings went up during the impeachment. You don't want that to happen.
Kennedy.
I'm sorry, Clinton.
No, I'm talking about Nixon.
I know, but Clinton's the recent one.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to impeach him without really a felony, without really a smoking gun, which these guys don't have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it gets in there, and then he ended up being the aggrieved party. Because in this, I think at some point, you and I have reached the age where we can understand Americans, good or bad.
Yeah.
And if they get tired of something, they're going to go for the, if all of a sudden there isn't, on day one, the guy committed a murder, and you keep grinding along for weeks and weeks, and it's all people hear about on TV, everybody's going to get tired of it, and they're going to side with Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like they did with Clinton.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But my point with Nixon was that the general public and the Republican Party was on his side until they weren't. There became a tipping point. Now, the tipping point was the disclosure of the smoking gun and the tapes. It's arguable whether the information that appears in the Mueller report is or should be or could be considered the smoking gun as far as what was done or wasn't done. What I think Trump has learned from his experience, his business experience, is never put anything in writing and deny anything that's negative. And if you deny it long enough and loud enough, people will believe him as opposed to whatever the evidence shows.
And he's got 25% of the people that if you saw the guy naked, they'd say he wasn't naked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The emperor has
no clothes.
Which is absolutely astounding to me as an American. I mean, at some point, even your... I mean, I thought Obama might be the solution to a lot of stuff. After 4 years, I said, no, he's not.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't get where... And I have people close to me. Everybody's just picking on him.
Mm-hmm.
Picking on him? Good Lord. The guy's been an absolute... Nobody cares if he calls somebody a total loser, this, that, the other. Nobody cares if he tells people they're short.
Mm-hmm.
This is a day and age where if you say something about somebody if you're 12 years old and you tell somebody they're short, the parents are involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the president can do it. I mean, we are so far afield on our morals here, or mores. I don't know if they're morals or mores are the same thing, but I mean the idea that if you call some kid in the neighborhood as being short, you're grounded for 6 months and they throw you out of school. If the president can do it, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of everything else, it seems like as long as the market goes up, everybody's happy, because then the world view, according to the people you listen to all day, is the market.
Well, immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Immediate gratification is determined upon where the stock market is today. I saw an article in the paper this morning that Trump is upset now in comparing himself to Xi in China, that the reason that China is doing so well is because Xi controls the Economic Council, similar to our Fed, and Trump doesn't. And if only the Fed would listen to him, and that these are not my guys on the Fed, but he appointed four of the people on the Fed out of the five.
Don't ever let the facts get away with good for
I know. It's disconcerting.
Well, I mean, it'd be different. What was the one comment about the Well, reporter, it looks like the place being run like a mafia dom, except it's a really dumb dom. But I mean, what does he mean? How do you, if you do anything about economics, not just, you know, bully economics,
mm-hmm.
when you come out and proclaim that it's the greatest economy in the history of the world, all because of you,
mm-hmm.
and then say if the Fed doesn't lower rates to 1%, they're killing you. Well, first of all, 1% is a, or 1.5 or whatever it would be, is essentially a situation where you're in a panic about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest economy in the world. If it's the greatest economy in the world, those rates should be 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And people should be able to get money in a bank. It should be normal. It should be a, quote, a demand for money. There should be people making money on their savings. None of that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the market continues to run up because some people get money cheaper than others.
Mm-hmm.
And, well,
and who is it that's getting the money cheaper than others?
Trump's buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if he thinks they're his buddies, but they're... Actually, the big rich in the country probably doesn't really like him because he's not somebody that got into the club. But the fact is, he's there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the disconnects just shows you that for him to start touting economics is like me touting surgery, man. I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I mean, it's but in the market now with the idea of Fed being under his control and gonna do what he wants. They're gonna lower rates this year, which they shouldn't. I mean, because the guy is putting in an inflationary surge in the economy with the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, with less ability to react if
it goes negative.
With the same time, he's telling the Fed, right now, no matter whose gauge you're using, and even their crazy gauges, the inflation's picking up. The PSE's coming up, the regular CPI's coming up, and yet, now he wants them to lower rates into the face of, is he looking to get another 1979? I mean, that would be something. Now, whose fault would that be? It wouldn't be his.
Well, nothing is ever his fault if it goes bad.
But as long as the market goes up, people vote with their pocketbook. I never thought in this country, even if it's just perceived economic gain, of how much people are willing to take on other stuff, in terms of morals, in terms of other things, just to keep your pocket full.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, your pocket isn't even all that full. I mean, the market's up, but that's about it. And I really do believe that it's just excessive borrowing. And I don't get where we lost the part, Brendan. Where if you lower rates again, I mentioned this the other day. I don't want to do it every day, but When you talk about a Fed and rates, everything used to be. Not that, you know, the world was better. I'm not saying it was better, but things were tied together. I mean, you remember this.
Mm-hmm.
The Fed lowered interest rates a quarter point. The prime rate went down a quarter point. Every bank, everybody who borrowed money from a bank, down a quarter point.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other way, up a quarter point. And it had an instant effect on the economy. Savings rates, everything else, all moved in relation to this. I mean, I'm saying there is zero chance that if they lower rates a half a point in the next 6 months, that you're getting a letter in the mail say your credit card just went from 24 to 23.5,
mm-hmm.
as absurd as that would be. Even that won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no follow through whatsoever. So the idea that you are somehow making life, the only place it pops out on is it pops out in mortgage interest. Which you could make the argument, but all it does is blow up the high price of the house.
Well, the other thing as part of this equation is whatever happened to fiscal responsibility and maintaining
It's for the other guy.
You know, when looking at this, because you mentioned it a few minutes ago about how much of this is borrowed money to pump up the economy right now. At some point, you've got to pay the money back.
Well, but okay. Now, having said that, I'll grill you like I would grill myself. I've been saying that for 10 years. Where's the problem?
If you're the one who's printing the money, there is no problem because you solve it by just printing more problem and pumping it into the economy. But you know what happened to the deficit hawks who were elected in 2010? And
they've been shouted down by the fact that no crisis has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, my Southside upbringing, and he was he looked like he was from Iranian descent. Not that it mattered. Because he's in this country, he's now the chairman of some incredible software place or whatever. So he's come here and he's done good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the fur face going the whole bit. Again, that doesn't matter. I'm just trying to describe the guy to you. And he's talking about how He honestly believes that there is no such thing as a recession now, or the debt problems, because the Fed can always print more money and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that everybody that I've been talking to for 10 years that says, where's your crisis now, Chief? It feels the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old man's way of looking at things, that you actually got to pay your bills and you don't ever do it and you just keep making more dough.
I agree with your assessment. I don't agree with the philosophy.
Well, I don't either.
But
still,
I do agree that that's where a lot of people are looking at the problem right now.
You get on CNBC and you talk about this stuff. Who's the guy with the bow tie? Talks about it all the time. Real smart guy. Talks about, well, this is moving up. This is moving up. look what's happened to car debt. Look what's happened to this. And one of the very attractive ladies says, okay, why hasn't it happened? You've been coming on the show for 5 years and looks to me like everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to that?
I don't have an answer for that, why it hasn't happened yet, but it still seems wrong. And it seems like there will be a reckoning, whether it's, you know, next week or whether it's 5 years from now or whenever it is. I mean, I just don't see how this can keep on going.
Okay, well, I would put you, or even put Maddie Weber. He would never do that because he'll roll with the flow more than you will. If you know that you're
youth,
going from
the exuberance of youth.
Well, he's not young anymore. Even his dog's acting. Even his dog's acting old. Because now, if I were to tell you,
Maddie, I think you're still young.
Yes, I do too. If I were to tell you, for instance, that on your walk from Chicago to Omaha as you head out west, go west, young man. Who's that? Horace Greeley. Go west,
Horace Greeley.
On your way from Chicago to Omaha. That somehow or another you're at the same sea level, okay, in Omaha and you're in Chicago. And yet somebody like you might be smart enough to say, boy, you know, for the last 20 miles we've been going up 10 foot a mile. If it's the same on the other end, there's got to be a big drop here someplace coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Right.
And there's going to be somebody every day says, "Listen, don't listen to this Brendan guy. He's a pain in the ass. And by the way, it's okay so far." Right?
Right.
There's somebody who's not going to believe you. And 300 miles out, and there isn't a cliff, and you keep saying we can't go in the fog, we can't go at night because somewhere there's a danger out there. Nobody's going to pay attention to you, Brent.
Mm-hmm. I know. I understand your point, but logic and previous experience shows that it's going to be there.
Well, but then
it
you
has
get
to
in,
be there.
But then you get into this concept of relative value.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing faster than the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, our interest rates are higher than the other guys. They're negative and we're too. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. But the point you come to and have talked about before is whether you're looking at a borrower society or a saver's society and rewarding people for saving money, rewarding retirees, for example, for years and years building up a safety net for themselves so that they're not relying...
Or a pension plan.
Or a pension plan, so they're not relying completely upon Social Security, but their own resources, and yet all the money that they've accumulated over the years and put in investments are not earning enough to sustain them after they retire, as opposed to borrowing more money.
Well, that's right. And
from the borrower standpoint, yes, you want very low rates so that I can borrow at 1%, but if I'm not consuming as much anymore, and I wanted to spend the money that I've got, earning 1% or 0.5% a year doesn't cut it for me because
no.
I've been frugal all my life to put money aside so that I don't have to borrow at a certain point or I don't have to rely upon government largesse. It's completely contradictory to me that philosophy is no longer valued.
Well, I think what we should do is after the break, let's take what you just said totally apart because I think, not apart, but let's go through the, we haven't done this in a while, let's go through the, money is a good like anything else. And when all of a sudden it seems that like the value of it is, I'll use the term skewed, what's wrong? I mean, why isn't it acting like it's supposed to act like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's talk about it after the break because I think it's a real big thing because like I said, I've been kind of setting this up because it has been going on a long time. But the question is why? Now, nothing can stay out of whack in an economy, when I say out of whack, be mispriced for a long period of time. And this is a Milton Friedman pretty much quote, unless government's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way you're going to have a real monopoly is if the government polices it because people have a real hard time policing their own monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to try and start a business that competes with you in this country, at least. Or at least used to. And but the only way you can be only four airlines if government doesn't let another one in.
Right.
I mean, government's part of all this.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, why are they skewing the money to such an extent, and is it doing them any good? And are they doing a good job? I mean, that's really the subject of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
S&P futures up 13, Dow futures up 117. Back by Mr. Joel and Ken. I'm not sure. Was that his horse, Manny? Either one?
His horse, I think, came in like seventh.
Oh, all right. I thought he had the one to one. We'll be right
still
back.
Running.
Yeah, he's still running.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at Luckbox Magazine.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456, that's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome into Stocks and Jocks. God, where do we find these people? Commerce Secretary predicts a Trump-China trade deal, not U.S.-China, Trump-China trade deal even shooting wars end in negotiation. Where did we get this Wilbur Ross, and what is he doing there? Is he the guy that said everybody should go out and get a, all the people who aren't getting paid in the federal government go out and get a low-interest loan?
Yes, that's him.
What planet is the man from? A low-interest. Maybe you think you can go out and get a low-interest loan for a paycheck tomorrow?
They didn't really even need to get a loan because they could rely upon their savings and the interest that they're earning on their savings.
Yeah, yeah. S&P futures up 1225, Dow futures up 111, NASDAQ futures up 43. Over in Europe, we've got rallies there as well. DAX up 155, 1.2%, FTSE up 35.5%, CAC around up 44.8. We're in Asia, we've got the DCAP 69, they had a big move up yesterday. That's 0.3%, Shanghai up 73, that's 2.6. Almost back to 3,000, 29.25. Hang Seng up 210.7. This is a week after we were down every day. I don't quite get the up and down here, but then again, it's not for me to decide. Oil up 40 cents, 53.67. Brent up 6 cents. So the West Texas is gaining on Brent. The spread now is, I'm going to say, $8.70. Natural gas, 236, still very low. RBOB, 174. It's up 2 cents. We've got gold down 350, 13.25. Silver up a penny. So they're not exactly going the right direction. Well, for me anyway, although I did buy some puts. We also have the U.S. 10-year rate is, where are we? We're 2.1, which is unbelievable, really, when you think about it. Euro versus the dollar, 1.13. That's low. Mitty, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. I-80 is a complete mess right now because there was a motorcycle crash on the eastbound side just before Ridgeland Avenue. That has everything on the eastbound side getting by on the left shoulder as emergency crews are on the scene there, and that's affecting both sides of I-80, a complete mess down on I-80, so you'll want to avoid that if at all possible. Other areas of issue, I-55 northbound just before Route 53, there was an earlier crash. That's just been cleared, but there's some resulting congestion from that. No issues coming in on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Looks like we have a new crash on the Stevenson now northbound at Damon as
well. A new crash.
That's blocking the left lane on the northbound side. Eisenhower looks okay. Traffic building on the Kennedy as well, but no accidents to report. Same with the Edens. In the city, there's a crash at Milwaukee and Sacramento on the northwest side. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, a beautiful day in the city. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 78. Right now it's mostly clear and 61 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, another hot one. Partly cloudy with a high of 108. Right now it's clear and 85. In sports, Cubs blew a 4-run lead last night in Colorado, losing to the Rockies 6-5. White Sox were blown out by the Nationals at home 12-1. Diamondbacks took care of the Phillies 13-8. Game 4 of the NBA Finals, Raptors had a 6-point lead with just over a minute to go. Looked like they might wrap up the series, but Golden State hit three big threes in the final 90 seconds and edged out the Raptors 106-105, sending it back to the Bay Area for Game 6. Kevin Durant, though, is believed to have torn his Achilles and will miss a significant amount of time, obviously. He came back from the strained calf and was probably favoring it, and that led probably to that injury, although who knows, it could have been coincidental. So the Golden State will be without him, obviously, for the rest of the series, trailing 3-2.
Was the Achilles in the same leg that he had, yes, the calf muscle?
I think so, yeah.
All right, so they're related.
I would say probably.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I know I didn't want to talk about baseball the last couple weeks, but I just want to mention baseball. Michigan is a baseball school. We are in the College World Series, and we are the only team that played on New Year's Day, the Sweet 16, and is in the College World Series. So just want to give a shout-out to my alma mater.
There you go. Are they the only team in the Big Ten that's there?
I think so. You know what's really interesting, Chief, is that no northern team hosted a regional final, okay? And only Michigan is the one that made it out to the College World Series. I mean, it's just, you talk about the different sports and the advantages the SEC has in recruiting and whatnot, but the advantage that these southern teams have in baseball is just, you know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, LSU, Florida State, Arizona, UCLA, you know, well, UCLA is Western. Huge, huge advantage. But I didn't want to spend too much baseball. What would you like to cover?
Well, first, let me ask you, do you guys have the huge indoor facility for these guys?
I mean, we have indoor facilities, yeah, but there's nothing like playing outside. And the, you know what? The statistics speak for themselves, Chief. You know, the Southern teams dominate. There's no substitute for playing on real grass and real playing conditions. Absolutely no substitute at all.
Well, the Irish had a pretty solid team for a while where the coach was that they got rid of went around, and he was pretty good at identifying pitching talent. Well, Jeff Samardzija and a few other people, and he was able to compete. I mean, they went to the College World Series one year, but and then they got rid of him, and now they haven't put their head above water since. But they have a pretty good practice. Well, you're right; it's not the same thing. But these guys, they're playing tournaments, you know, damn near Christmas week. You know, so I mean, if you went to Notre Dame or Michigan or Ohio State, being on a baseball team, if you wanted to get to some nice places when it's winter up here, that's a good spot to be. Those guys, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, the 1984 is the last time Michigan was in the College World Series. You remember what happened that year also, don't you, from the baseball perspective?
You're going to tell me.
What about the Cubs?
The War of 84. That's the last time the Tigers won the World Series.
There you go. And the Cubs were solid that year as well with Brian Sandberg and those guys.
We were hoping for the last World Series, but who'd Chicago end up losing? They ended up losing to San Diego and Steve Garvey.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else they ended up losing is the league forced them to give up a home game, which very few people remember.
Did you ever see that clip of when Goose Gossage wanted to pitch to Kirk Gibson in that game?
No.
And Sparky was out there, and Goose wanted to get off the mound, and Sparky's pointing at Kirk Gibson going, he wants to pitch to you. He wants to strike you out. He thinks he can strike you out. Sparky's pointing at him. First pitch, crack. Yep. Knocked it out of the stadium.
And he was injured too, right? Gibson, he had a bad leg or something?
You're thinking of when he played for the Dodgers
against the Athletics.
And that pitch-in home run, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to be a huge fan of Kirk Gibson, considering where he went to school. but he did make some great plays.
All right, Joel. So, how many days in a row, on a hint of the Fed even cowering more to the president and lowering rates now in the face of an inflation that is popping up? How much mileage can we get out of a quarter point from two and three quarters?
I've never been more opposed to a Fed rate cut than I am at this time.
Me too.
I just, you know, everyone's factoring in. I'm wrong. You get right. That's what part of the market's being admitted when you're wrong. And the Fed funds rate, everyone's got it factored in. I just think it's a dangerous move. And I think if they don't cut tomorrow, I mean, they're talking late in the year. I don't know, Chief. This just absolutely makes no sense. I don't know about not worrying so much about inflation with, I know there's food inflation, but you got crude down. Nothing makes sense about this rate cut, but you know you're not supposed to make sense of the market. You're supposed to go with the trend, right?
It makes perfect sense. You've got a guy running for office that wants the market at record highs between now and next November. It makes perfect sense.
It does from that perspective, and it's funny because we were talking about, I don't know if I talked about that with you last week, but we talked about it on our show. And, you know, I said, hey, primaries are coming up. You never know. It's just around the corner. We'll start the election rhetoric. I don't know. What happens if we cut a quarter? I don't know. I'm not an economist, you know. I was sick that day when they taught that in college. So I just don't see it. I don't see why they're doing it. But
because
Fed funds rate says they're going to do it.
Well, look what's happened to the market in the last 5 days where they said they were doing it.
Exactly. I mean, it's like you said, you know, the Fed is, you know, kowtowing to the president. It's not good. I don't like it, but it is what it is, Chief. You can't fight the tape.
No, you can't, and nor do you want to. I mean,
I try every day. It doesn't work.
This is the first time this happened that I've been just about along the whole way. The thing that is moving the most, I have roughly two-thirds of my people in the protected program, I'm going to say, in the QQQs.
Witness protection?
No, my protected index program that I have a lot
I
of
I thought
money
the
about.
Same thing.
Well, I could see that, too. I've never since January had to... Well, last quarter of last year, we were adjusting stuff almost daily. But this is bizarre world. I mean, I got people in roughly in the 160s. thing runs to 190. I had calls, I was fine until the 80s, until I started chasing them a little bit. Then I had a few of them that were kind of buried in the money. And I waited a couple days, and all of a sudden now we're back down in the 170s, and I'm buying the calls in for like 2 cents. Okay. And, now we're back up where I'm chasing them again. This is all in a 4 week span.
It's so hard, Chief. I mean, you know, you've been around for a long time. The time this market, and it's always been a difficult proposition, but in this market environment, I mean, I've never really tried to do it with my long-term portfolio. I'm either 100% in and 100% out. I've been out at the wrong times. I've been in at the right times, but it's just, you can't do it. It's just impossible to time or predict this market. I used to work with a guy at Bright Trading, Eddie Franco, and along with Bob Bright. Did you know those guys at all?
I knew Bob Bright.
Yeah. And Eddie said you cannot predict more than 7 minutes in the market. And now it's just like you can't predict more than 7 seconds.
Joel, I have a. I mean, this is not a shameless plug. But that's why I have a program like that. What you want to do is keep the stock somewhere between the puts and the calls. That takes some effort. I mean, it's definitely every day we're doing something.
It's tough. It's a tough environment, but that's it, man.
All right, bud.
Beyond Meat got a downgrade today. That's all I'm going to say about that. Down $15. And Chief, you're a good smart guy. Yesterday on the close, what do you think they wanted for the weekly 150 puts when the stock was trading at 168?
Which stock are you talking about? Which stock are you talking about?
Beyond Meat.
Oh God. I had some people call me up yesterday and wanted to do something in there.
You saved them some cash.
Guess what? The guy, he had bought the 100 calls when the thing came out. He's way up on them. But somewhere along the line to sort of hedge himself, they sold like the 135s this week. And now the 135s are trading $37. He calls and he says, those things aren't doing so hot. How about if I just buy those in? I go, wait a minute, whoa. You want to buy those in without getting rid of the other ones? Well, yeah, it's going up. I'm chasing these. I said, the last thing you want to do is pay $37 for these things and have the other one. So I talked him into just taking the whole position off. It was a big fat winner. Why don't we just take it off and then we'll start over? Well, why don't I just buy in the losers? Because you could screw up the whole deal.
Wow. I mean, kudos to him for buying 100 calls.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, the puts, I mean, it's a tough stock. Anyways, J.P. Morgan downgrades.
Well, just careful with that one.
Down $14. We'll see what happens today.
Well, careful with that one because the option markets are like $3 wide, $4 wide.
Oh, I know.
It took me.
Believe me. I know. I try and tussle with that thing, and it was tempting yesterday, but we're kind of hoping to see it get up to that crazy 200 print, but it didn't happen. Live and learn, right?
Let's go out and have a hamburger and celebrate.
Okay. Hey, real quick, Trading Summit in New York, June 20th, a week from today. Tickets are going fast. Trading Lounge, Whitney Tilson, headline speaker.
Cool.
You guys got to be there.
All right. Thanks, man.
Okay. Go Blue.
That's interesting. Yeah. We did this. We did some of that stuff in that stock yesterday. And I'm like, how somebody gets involved in a stock when the option markets are $2 wide in the first place? I have no idea, but people do. Would that be my choice, Brent? If I don't think I can get out, I don't want to be in. When you do this for a living, you realize you can lose more in the execution in something that's illiquid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that in bonds.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless. We had a client, who brought in a bunch of these TIF bonds. And he goes, I'd like to sell them. And I'm looking at him going, to who? Mm-hmm. And the market had to be 10 points wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? How does somebody get involved in anything like this? I mean, you never know what's liable to happen to you or your family or whatever. You might have to actually get out of something. So the more you're involved, that's why one of the reasons that I swear by my Protect Index program. Somebody says, "What if I don't want to do it anymore?" Well, then tell me. In 10 minutes, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know just what we have in a liquid something. We can be out now. Of course, it might come a day when we're not out. You know, when the market doesn't open for 2 days or something. Who knows? But anyway, Brandon, get back to our money story, and I think people that have not had a whole lot of economics classes and so forth maybe don't think this way, but if you think about it, you understand. Okay, there's money is a factor of production like anything else. if you want to build something, if you want to have a new business, if you want to buy a new business, if you're going to build something, you need steel, you need concrete, you need wiring, you need God knows what else, light fixtures. And guess what? Unless you're Daddy Warbucks, you need the money. And the simple fact is, and this is not good or bad, a lot of people who have made money and have money are not the people who currently have a vision for the next product, the next building, the next whatever. There's just a mismatch there. Mm-hmm. You could have been, you know, Brendan whatever, and decided there was a niche law firm, okay, where you got involved in whatever. It could have been a product liability. It could have been mergers and acquisitions. It could have been whatever it is. You get in there, and all of a sudden, you guys make a whole bunch of dough, and now you're clunking along pretty well. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of extra money in your place, and you don't have, let's say, the vision to open up another law firm. Okay, maybe you've got $5 million sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And Maddie Weber says, well, you know what? Look at this piece of property. There isn't a be something simple. There isn't a hot dog stand within 40 miles of this place. And Maddie's brother is a terrific chef, and he says, you know, I'm going to make homemade hot dogs.
He's a great hot dog chef.
If he wanted to make hot dogs,
oh yeah,
he'd be good
hot
at
dogs.
That. Whatever it is, he's good at. He's been in sushi joints. He's been in Mexican joints. He pretty much knows everything.
He's classically trained, yeah. French cuisine and culinary school and all that stuff, and he's been in like every possible cuisine, so I think he can handle hot dogs.
Okay,
but he also has got a bad outfielder, so that's right. Got that going for him. So anyway, something
to fall back on,
right? So they sit there, and Manny Weber, I'd have to help him with this probably, but we put together a business plan, and I'm going to say, you know, Manny, looks to me like you could make 15% in this place, you know, with this much people and this much drive through, and just looking at what other places are doing. And by the way, you'll be better. And if it looks like me, we can charge the same price or maybe slightly more for better hot dogs. And I think a 15% return is something you can make. Now, it doesn't mean I'll be right. So now they'll come to Brendan and say, guess what? You're getting 2% in your bank, and I'll pay you 5% for that money because I think I'm going to make 15. Of course, if you think about it, that's what banks do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is take some people's money, pay them something, and other people that have visions, or even the vision might be an apartment building in a remodel, whatever it is. It's some factor of production for something else. That they're going to make more money there, and the bank is the intermediary. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple fact is, somebody has an idea. Somebody says, I can borrow money at 5% and I can make money on that, paying the 5%. And somebody else says, this is my savings, just give me 3 and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's called arbitrage.
It's called, and then the bank says, okay, so I get 2% to work with. It pays my salary, it pays for the building, it pays for the little league team, and that's what banks do. Now we've lost our, in still some areas there's smaller banks and so forth that do just that. And there's still probably a couple of savings and loan lists somewhere that do that. There's a lot of credit unions that do that, but we as a population, I think, have lost our sense of that's what happens, and money is like anything else. So we're going to say the Fed goes, well, no. You guys don't get 3% anymore. You're going to get half of 1%, or you're going to get butt kiss. Now, that should mean, if they follow it through, the guy who was paying 5 now is paying 3.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not exactly happening that way, is it?
No.
And so therein lies a problem for me and you, and mm-hmm. I think for hopefully most of the listeners. So what have we done? We've totally blown up this, quote, market for money. Now, why? Okay, we've got it down to nothing because we need to recapitalize banks. Well, why? The banks lost their own money. Why can't they go out and raise new money? Well, that's not what we want to do. We're going to give them profit. We're going to take $300 billion a year off the backs of savers, and we're going to make it easier for banks, where now they don't even have to go out and get a loan. They're going to get money for nothing, and we're going to give them 1.5% to kick it right back to us. Well, 20 years ago, when Milton Friedman was alive, he'd say, you're going to do what? You're not going to demand anybody make any loans, because that's how the economy grows.
Mm-hmm.
Is people with the vision being able to go someplace, borrow it at 5 or 6%, and build a hot dog stand, make 10, pay the bank back, pay the saver back, pay the investors back. That's how the economy works.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're saying, no, we don't want to do that anymore.
That's how the economy should work.
That's what the economy should work. Now we're going to say, no, we're just going to throw this money out there to the fact where the Matty Webbers of the world, the you and me of the world, going to Chase. Well, we're not paying you anything. Oh, by the way, God help you if you If you use an ATM machine or you drop under $5,000, we're going to charge you per month to hold your money. Mm-hmm. You're going to do what? You're going to charge me to hold my money? Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, in a way, we never went to negative interest, but with the fees, we really did, mm-hmm. right? And in most places. So now we've totally debunked this whole thing. No, our job as a Fed now is to make the banks make so much money that the next time there's a crisis, and we know there's going to be one that we're not paying attention to, we just want them to have $40 billion so when they screw up and lose 30, they got 10 left and we don't have another crisis. Well, that's interesting, but it's a total destruction of the system and the way it ought to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me get this straight. The interest rates are zero, but if I go in to buy the hot dog stand, do I get 2%? Well, no. But if you're Microsoft and you want to buy stock back, you can get to 2% or 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that's only one loan, and that's okay. And we'll do that because Microsoft has its AAA rating. Or they don't think they even have a AAA rating, but it's probably close. So this is the world we live in. And now, by the way, the rate goes down that low. We're putting so much money in the system, the stock market runs up. So the president thinks he's doing a good job, and everybody thinks... Now, your entire way of pricing things is screwed up. Okay, so it used to be 3% goes into the bank, 3%, you know, T-bill or whatever. The bank charges 5 to their best customers, 6 to their not-so-good customers. Then there's these junk bond things that they're going to pay 10 or 11 because they don't have as good an idea as Manny does on a hot dog stand. So I'm going to say that's kind of a not investment grade thing.
Well, it may not be such a good idea. You can't really judge whether it's a good idea, but they have a better likelihood of not paying it back for
right.
a variety of other reasons.
Well, it might be, instead of hot dogs, it's whatever. It's
Cupcakes
or bison bread, whatever. It's not so much of a layup. So all of a sudden, these guys are paying 10%. Now, what happens is you as an investor or me as somebody who invests people's money, I could maybe go with the... Who's the guy that went to? The guy with the horrible toupee that went to jail.
Mike Milken.
Mike Milken. Yeah. How do I remember people? Horrible toupee and went to jail. so he comes out and says, you know what? These junk bonds, not investment grade. This is not a bad idea as long as somebody comes in instead of giving me $50,000 and investing in a junk bond, he's going to give me $1 million and we're going to put them in 20 junk bonds.
Mm-hmm.
That way, at 50,000 a pop.
I may be losing, but I'm going to make it up on volume.
Well, what it says is, because it's 10 or 11% instead of 5 or 6, that this particular person, if one of these companies goes under, he's still a winner. If two goes under, he's still break even.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact...
How did that work in the mortgage industry with the mortgage?
You know what? It worked pretty well for Milken.
For a while.
Yeah, well, no. It really worked for him. I mean, in that particular thing, it worked tremendously. The matter of fact, over a period of like a decade, I read this study, the stuff that he put in there, they were expecting like a 10% fallout rate, and the fallout rate was like 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he did exceptionally well for those people.
Right.
But then he started.
The mortgage bond just fell apart completely.
Well, the mortgage bond was that was a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mortgage bonds, the problem there was the mortgages. Okay, some of the mortgages weren't so good. But the leverage on top of the mortgage, there was $35 worth of mortgage leverage on top of every dollar of mortgages. They were never going to come up with synthetic mortgages to fulfill the need. Now, you might ask, where did that demand came from? It came from people in Japan borrowing money at 1% and then putting them in mortgages at 6. Because at 6%, why would anybody be falling over themselves to get into a 6% return?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least Milken's was 11. Right?
Right.
And if the mortgage returns had been 11 and 5% of them went under, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But at 6, it was. Hey, Luckmax Magazine, our new sponsor, by the way. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 an issue. Brendan, you need one of these on your coffee table. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. I hope people are taking advantage of this because it's a pretty darn good magazine. And
I know I have.
And Jeff is a pretty serious, very good guest, by the way. And
he'll be in studio next.
He'll be in studio, assuming he didn't take this real nice day and go play golf or something.
Will the digital version fit on my coffee table?
No, that's why you need one of the other ones just to put it. Remember the books and magazines people used to get that never read? They just they just put it out there because it made them look like a real sophisticated person.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was the one? The American. There were the magazines you read, and there was the one where that everybody, if you were a real big shot, you got, nobody ever opened it up. Was it American something something? Back in the day, in our parents' day. Anyway, well, I'll think of it. S&P futures still up $12. Dow futures up 111. NASDAQ futures up 43. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, just from Brennan Cornet, Mr. Jeff Joseph, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 14 and a quarter. We're still riding this Fed herd. I think we should just never cut rates, just rumored to cut rates, and we could be at 20,000 in a couple of weeks. We should just do that. We'll all be rich. SP Futures up 55. Individual stocks, Apple up 242. Apple's been on a roll for some reason, or maybe the right reasons. They have not been part of this China discussion at all, and heard a rumor today that they could make all their phones out of China if they had to. I don't know how they could do that all that quickly, but they claim they can. We've also got we got 3M making a bounce back, up 121. That thing went from 220 to like 160, now we're back close to 170. Beyond Meat, however, is down $14, 153.75. That's been really a mover lately, as Joel was just mentioning. And Amazon, trading 1881 up $20, was under 1700 maybe five trading days ago. So it's up like 200 points in 4 or 5 days. Wow. So guys, we were talking about, we kind of beat this to death a little bit regarding, the Fed and how the money goes through the system sort of differently than it used to. But, Jeff, you want to talk, you and Maddie want to talk about the new phenomenon from, actually, the Asian countries, but you think it's kind of moving over. What do people do? They watch people playing games or something? What do you call that?
Esports.
Esports.
You're talking about esports, right? Yeah, it's a focus, and that's a hell of a transition, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's
he's not the best at segues.
That was a very natural transition.
Well, we just talk about what we were. But now, you know what's funny is I used to listen to as a youth, most people did. Every morning, and even a rock station, Paul Harvey used to come out.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And
the rest of the story.
Yeah, well, and the weird part is I remember him doing the page two, page three.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, why does he do that? But as soon as you go on yourself, the hardest thing to do is to change subjects while you're talking. So he would just say, he'd just stop and he'd go, page two. Start something different. It made perfect sense if you're a host by yourself. Now, normally when you have other people with you, you can kind of maneuver into the next subject, but I didn't do it so well there. What can I say? I could have just said page two.
What was his sign off, Paul Harvey?
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah, wasn't that it, man?
And now you know the rest of the story. Yeah. Good day.
Yep. Good day. That's right.
He lasted
a long time.
One of my clients from Arizona. We drove by his place. He had what's the real old line money hotel there where the Wrigley Mansion is?
The Biltmore.
The Biltmore. Well, near the Biltmore are these houses that are just, you know, one's more spectacular than the next. Somehow or another, this guy had the key card. We could drive around in there. Well, Paul Harvey's house was in there. You never knew it till you saw it that you needed like a house with like seven fireplaces in Phoenix. Like two or three of them are outside and all these massive outdoor kitchens. And I look at Paul Harvey's place, I'm going, wow, this guy's done pretty well. Yeah. Anyway, he lasted, he was in his 90s, wasn't he, when he died?
Yeah.
But he was good. Anyway, tell us about the games.
Esports?
Yes.
Well, esports is it's the convergence of electronic gaming and entertainment and traditional sports. It's quietly become the largest entertainment phenomena in the world right now.
Is it kind of like watching poker? Only it's esports.
Well, it's a little bit more interactive and a little bit more engaging. So think of the millions and millions that are playing video games. Fortnite would be the game that comes to mind most frequently. If you have teenage children or tween-age kids, are likely playing Fortnite. Fortnite now has 250 million registered users.
Wow.
It's a video game, and that's all it is. But it follows the format of The Hunger Games, the movie. It's an post-apocalyptic elimination game where 100 people are dropped on an island from an airplane. They run around and grab weapons, and they kill each other until one is left. Okay. So that's what...
Sort of like Mad Max, where we've got to maintain gasoline.
That's right, and some of those games have a similar dystopian landscape like Mad Max does. But that's the game. There's a lot of strategy involved. That's what Fortnite is, and there's a lot of different video games. And that can be played in teams or one-on-one. But when that game was launched by a private company named Epic Games, by a 21-year-old working out of his garage in Maryland while he was going to University of Maryland. He came back to his parents' home and worked in the garage and kind of created this game. It now is worth about $15 billion. Epic Games is the company. He made the Forbes list last year at 194.
Is this thing public?
No.
Wow.
He's worth over $7 billion, and it's from a video game that he created as a 21-year-old kid. So there's 250 million registered users. It's a perfect example of what esports is. And then, that's gaming. So that's a game that someone's playing on their Xbox at home or using something called Twitch, which allows other celebrities and...
So the Xbox is still the unit you use for...
Xbox is still a primary console, but you can play it directly from the cloud as well. And now what players can do that have reached certain prowess, so better players, can live stream their play of the game to other people. So think about going to video.
And do they sell that?
I mean, they do sell it. They'll ask for donations.
What kind of system do you need for that? Something super high?
Something called Twitch, which Amazon owns.
But I mean, do you need some box that does a gamer machine or what they call it?
No. You just pull it up and watch other people play, and you can
decide. This is mind-boggling.
Wow. It's mind-boggling, but here's how mind-boggling it actually is. In November of last year in South Korea, 110 million people watched a live streamed competition globally of the League of Legends Championship. That's another video game that was held in Korea. That 110 million live streaming viewers surpassed the viewership of the Super Bowl last year. So the largest single sports event of the year last year was a video game competition held live in Korea with 40,000 fans in attendance at a stadium watching large screens of people playing video games. And then,
so,
so these are people watching, not participating.
They're watching guys with the headphones on.
And that's the amazing thing. These are people watching people play video games.
Play video games.
Right.
That's,
And the great irony is, I've got a 15-year-old son that I like to take to concerts because I'm an old music fan, and I mean old music, and I always remind him it's not music if no one's playing an instrument, right?
Yep.
So that applies to the whole genre of hip-hop and rap and EDM, electronic dance music. If no one's playing an instrument, it's not really music. And I try to make the same point that if no one's actually sweating, it's not really a sport.
When you were talking about this as a sport, I'm thinking, wait a minute, sitting in a stadium watching is not the sport.
Yeah.
The players who are on the field, or even in this game, the participants of the game may be in the sport, but people who are watching it, that's not really a sport.
Well, how do you get from, Matty, I'm going to put you on the spot, who are those weirdos, how's that for a term? We played softball against the last year in a radio league. They weren't the radio team. The guys were awful.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of their company, but
they were right across the street from WGN, and they had a game company. You wouldn't believe these guys played softball, and they showed up with like 18 people.
And they didn't play softball well.
I mean, you were afraid.
They got slaughtered every week.
Well, Big Dan was big strong guy on our team, waxed one to left field. This kid takes it right on the breastbone. I thought the guy was dead. never even touched his hands. And I'm like, that's going to leave a mark. But, I mean, they got slaughtered every week, and like 25 people come out to play. They loved it. They had like 10 girls would come out. He only played two. They're all taking turns. Anyway, turns out they were some video place that had... Didn't they have a billion-dollar game, Manny? I think they did.
Something like that. You talked to him more than I did.
Yeah, how do you get from that to what you're talking about? Just a bigger game, or just or that could happen to them? Or
the games, it's easy to, as we are now, it's easy to look at this phenomenon and kind of laugh about it. But first of all, it's over a decade old. There's 450 million players involved globally in this. The revenues will surpass $1 billion this year easily, and big companies are making investments. So the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers just bought an esports team, and and Mark Cuban just invested in a company.
Wow.
Peak Six, right here in Chicago, just last week acquired a team for an undisclosed sum. They acquired, the name of the team escapes me, but Peak Six already owns a hockey, they have a hockey investment, and they have three European soccer teams. So they get it, plus they're all over technology.
Well, what's different, I don't know very little bit about my nephew, who's now 30-something and works with us. When he was younger, he was pretty good at these games. So you go someplace and there'd be 15 kids that are between 13 and 17 are all huddled in a room, and somebody plays the game until they lose, then the next guy, all the rest of the people are watching the one guy play. Is this just sort of a massive growth of something like that?
It is. It is. And there's, and this is only going to get bigger. So we, this is the feature story of the next issue of Luckbox magazine that's coming out in
But you
in
can't
about
buy in. Everybody's not public, right?
Well, no, there are many public companies because, and we list all the publicly traded companies and what the revenues are from their games. The top 10, well, of course, and Google has Stadia, and Apple has iTunes, and Tencent, the Chinese company, owns Riot Games, which owns League of Legends, which is probably the largest game franchise of all.
But there's no advantage, like if you're a bicycle racer, there's a huge advantage in inventing the next tire to cost you $1,000. So there's no advantage in... In other words, there's no piggy move up on the control systems themselves. It's just the games.
No, there are kind of pick and shovel approaches to our, you know, razor blade investments. There's accessories, there's hardware. It's the games, the publishers.
But I'm not going to win the game because my Xbox is better than the other guys.
There is variation in the quality of your gaming equipment.
Okay. Yeah. So there is a little bit of that.
So you can step it up a little bit.
But just most, for faster reaction time?
Yes, yeah. But most of the revenues go to the publishers, and that's and most of those are public companies or emerging to be public companies.
So you buy the game, you practice, you get good, you play against other people, and then all of a sudden you're in some sort of a tournament?
It starts early. So in this feature cover story, we look at every aspect. We list all the major investors that are moving into the space, who the public companies are, who the private companies are. And one of the more interesting discussions we had was with the CEO of the High School Esports League. He started it only 7 years ago. There's now 50,000 high school players across the country in this league. We spoke to the coach of the largest team, which is based out of New Jersey. He has 163 students. 9 of them are seniors, because it's relatively new, right? All 9 of his seniors, and this is really incredible, all 9 of his seniors received substantial scholarships to major universities to play esports.
What?
Yes, including Menlo Park. 2 of his students received full rides for 4 years, $50,000 a year, so $200,000 scholarships to 2 of his seniors to play esports for the college team at Menlo Park. So all 9 of his students receive scholarships.
So they keep shifting games on you, or have you got to learn a new game?
There's 4 or 5 games that have bubbled up to the top.
So you're good at the same games all the time?
Okay. Yeah, for the most part. And these kids are practicing all day long. So we spoke to...
How long would it take like Brendan and I to be as good as these guys?
You know, you can download games on your mobile phone, like one called PUBG, which is one of the very popular games, and you can see how actually difficult it is, and then you can ask a teenager to show you how to play it.
So we should stick to
and
like
how
Pong.
Easy it is.
We'll stick to Pong,
it's not,
Brendan.
It's not easy. Yeah, Pong. I was good at Pong, right?
So was I.
These kids will smoke you at Pong, too.
Well, I'm sure they would.
So what I found fascinating is the NBA, who's always sort of been on the forefront of the future, which is why the NBA is growing so much globally and some of the other leagues are shrinking. 21 of the 30 teams actually own an esports team. So the Blazers have you know, a team. The Mavericks have a team. You talked about Mark Cuban was one of the initial big investors. The Warriors, of course, the Bulls in the past always don't have one because Jerry Reinsdorf is a dinosaur. But essentially, they have a professional player or professional players, and they have standings, and they have a league, and people live stream these guys playing NBA 2K, the video game, and it's crazy. I'm on their website right now. It's absolutely fascinating, and it helps grow not only the game, but it grows exposure to the league, most notably in Asia, but worldwide.
That's right.
Well, are these guys subject to the same rules like the NCAA rules for competition? When you say that they're going to college on a full scholarship, Are there limitations that the NCAA imposes upon people in this league the way that they do for the baseball team or the football team?
At this point, the NCAA has not embraced esports, and it's just a matter of time when they will, because the NCAA is extremely financially driven, as anyone who's looked deeply into it knows, and it won't be long until they establish some parameters for esports. Well, but at this point, they're on the sidelines.
If Menlo Park plays Michigan, does Menlo Park go to Michigan, their team, or do you actually go to the other people's place, or you just go on your machines and do it from where you are?
No, you go to tournaments, and there are people watching those tournaments that come and sit and watch large screens. So to go on, these tournaments have...
So it's a real sport. I mean, people go
it's
there...
It's a real sport with huge prize money. The top 10 sports events last year globally, 8 of them were esports events.
So you have fans, you have screens, you have... They can watch the game just like if it's basketball.
League of Legends has a $30 million prize pool that will go out to the top 10 players. So to extend this, we talked to one, what's his name, Margolis. I forget his name, but he's profiled in our magazine. He started playing at the age of 12. By 17, he had won about $75,000. He took a gap year after he graduated high school and played and made a little bit more money, and then came back and had enough school money to go to med school, which he bought on his own.
Good for him.
And now he's in med school, and he went back to school. We talked to a player named Neeb, N-E-E-B is his code name. His real name is Alex Sunderhaft.
We need a code name.
Oh, they all have code names.
Yeah, we need a code name.
Alex is now 28. He never went to college. He's been playing esports right out of college, and he made $441,000 year-to-date this year in esports. $441,000.
How does brings me back to, I mean, I shouldn't interrupt with this, but if a college, the NCAA has their shtick with basketball and all the other stuff, but if all of a sudden if the chess team becomes an event people go to see, I don't know if the NCAA can regulate how many chess scholarships Michigan can give, can they? I mean, why would they?
Don't know.
I mean, I wonder how that power, this is something new. I don't see why these guys can't do whatever they want until somebody, maybe if you start getting in a conference, then the conference will say, look, we're only going to give 10 scholarships to school or something, maybe. Are there conferences, or one school just plays another?
There are conferences, and one of the other interviews was that there are more scholarships than there are players receiving them right now.
Really?
Because there's parallels between the acuity and the skills that it takes to play esports effectively and STEM, curriculum. So technology, spatial recognition, physics, there's some obvious acuity here. So they think these are students that they want.
With the movie The Last Starfighter, the guy was the best at video games, so they took him in the future to fly spacecraft.
Yeah. Well, then now I think that's very real.
I mean, this seems like it's a cross between an academic scholarship and a sports scholarship. Because it's not just running down the field and catching a ball. It's you talk about the mental acuity and the skill set to know from STEM practices to improve. So it's really kind of straddles the line.
Yeah, the metrics that they use to evaluate players, there's something called APM, which is actions per minute. So the typical player at a tournament level, and many of the players are earning $1 million a year already. There are many, many at that level now. So their APM is typically around 400, which means they can make 400 actions in the course of a minute. That's how quickly they're playing and how quickly they're moving. And these games often can take an hour straight, nonstop. So you can imagine what that's like. Their practice at this level is 6 to 7 hours a day, and then they'll go home and stream for 2 or 3 more hours per day. So they are, seated athletes.
Sounds like being a fighter pilot, sort of the same thing.
I would think so.
And I mean, really, it's interesting how there are crossovers to that. Not too long with this, but. Allegedly, to this day, Ted Williams holds all the records at the flying school and wherever he was down in Pensacola for accuracy for shooting from a plane. Same eyesight that he was able to hit the ball with.
Well, he could count stitches on the ball as it was coming. He could tell the ball coming in what kind of a pitch it was.
But he had 20/12 sight or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing. Right. Yeah. I mean, the same thing Chuck Yeager allegedly had, like, the world's best eyesight. He could see a plane coming at him, like, 2 minutes, enough before the guy next to him to keep himself alive. And these guys are probably just have amazing reflexes. Is there any typical size, shape? Are they good in school, not good in school? Are they all calc students or not? Or masters? Are there any correlation to anything else or no?
I couldn't say. We didn't go that deep. We covered.
I wonder if there is.
We've got about 15,000 words on esports in the next issue of Luckbox magazine, and we covered the investor side, the public companies, who's putting money in, where the new players are coming from. We looked at those aspects.
Why is Chicago? Just because I don't know, I'm going to ask a question. Why are we such a dead zone? Why isn't there an esports meeting at the new DePaul Arena or something? I mean, has there ever been any here?
I don't know if there's been a major event here, but now Peak Six, the proprietary trading firm right down the street from us.
Yep.
Yeah, they just acquired a major team, so they will be.
Are the major Chicago team, or where are they from?
The team is Seattle based, and they appointed their 25. They have a 25-year-old woman named Nicole LaPointe that's been working at Peak Six in a senior capacity for some time, right out of some Ivy League school. I forget which one. And they've just appointed her CEO. So she's moving out to Seattle to run this team.
Okay. So then how many the people there, they work for the team? That's their job?
So they have about 50 employees. And I don't know what those 50 employees would do. And I'm not sure how many team members there are, but those are the disclosed details of the transaction. The price is unknown, okay. But based on...
I guess I'm asking, is it a full-time job for these people?
Oh, it's a full-time job, okay. And based on...
So it's not like
they're
working for Peak Six half the day and doing this arrest. Okay.
Full-time job. So, and based on the valuations of recent investments and acquisitions of these teams, their value somewhere is between $50 and $100 million for a team. So what we also did was run an extensive comparison, which you'll find really interesting. Once we publish this, I'll share it with you, which was taking esports valuations today and comparing them to the NBA valuations back in the 80s. So we took all the NBA teams and what their valuations were in the 1980s and what esports teams are now. And we're making the parallel because, of course, every NBA team is worth over $1 billion today. And there'll be a much, much shorter trajectory for those esports valuations to get into the billions based on the fact that you're reaching a much larger audience quicker, right? You didn't have the internet. You didn't have, it was just television and for NBA games and, of course, the live events and whoever was able to attend those. But now, considering that millions and millions of people can view an event, these valuations should spike because the money is coming from Red Bull, Coca-Cola, Nike. These are all major sponsors paying millions of dollars to put their names on the events.
I get the part where I've obviously been a baseball fan for a real long time and football, but there's been changes in society that caused these teams to jump up in value. They have nothing to do with whether or not it was good sport or not. I mean, I honestly believe that. I mean, I think that for instance, when I first started school, or not school, business, and Brendan remembers those days, this is going to be kind of gross. You could tell your wife, I'm going out for dinner with people at work, and you can walk in totally bleep-faced at midnight, and it was okay. Well, that all of a sudden, work-wise and otherwise, became not something you could do. I mean, you couldn't just go to have dinner, keep drinking, go to they weren't exactly strip joints, but you'd go to Playboy Club. That was how you business entertained. Somehow the mores changed, and for you to business entertain, it has to be at a ball game. It has to be. So the money that was spent at those places is now spent in the skybox, spent in the height. So the question, you ended up getting this crowd. When I got my tickets at Cubs game in 1983, they were $4 a seat. So what I'm saying, something for this to be worth, quote, the $100 million, even though people like Mark Cuban always thinks he's got best thing going, the fact is you got to find people that are willing to come and sit there and spend $12 a beer and spend $500 a ticket, or else it's not going anywhere. I mean, right. It could be the most popular thing on earth, and it's just, tennis on TV is popular for a hell of a lot of people, but nobody's ever going to go spend that kind of money in a tennis tournament. I mean, you do in New York, but right. It's very... So somewhere along the line, you've got to get, for that to be $1 billion, I mean, the Bulls are the worst team in the world. Yet they're still 100 skyboxes there that every business won't get rid of.
Sure. And they're selling out.
Yeah, and they're selling out. Could be because that's your night out with your business. Right. It doesn't matter if 15 women show up and play for the Bulls. The fact is, that's where you're going eating and drinking with your clients.
That's right.
Now, somehow, for this thing to be worth $1 billion, you got to sort of break into that because, I mean, what if you did have it at, I'm not, and I'm fascinated by this, by the way, but if I did have it at the Paul Arena tomorrow, what could I charge for people to get in? 5, 10, 20, 100?
20, and you'll have 10, 15,000 people. They're building arenas all over the country.
That's surely
right
a
now.
Start. It's surely a start.
Yeah, with 10 to 25,000 seat capacity. In Vegas, there's a 32,000 seat capacity arena, and they're filling these.
Well, where is that one in Vegas? Is it the same place with basketball?
It's at the pyramid shaped hotel. What's it? Excalibur.
Luxor. Oh, Luxor, yeah.
That's right, Luxor. And, and then, of course, you know, to offset that, because what you're speaking to is true, but you have to factor in the large digital audience that allows hundreds of millions of people literally to be. There are 450 million.
Can I follow it on my TV set? I mean, is it?
Yeah, ESPN is starting to.
But I mean, is it
in the stadium? Are the players in the middle of the stadium, like on a court?
They are.
And the screens are above them. It's like if you go to Cowboy Stadium, when you see the big screens about the action, it's the same kind of a setup.
That is exactly
where
the setup.
Where the guys playing the games, the guys and women are playing
neat,
the games.
Actually.
In, that's exactly right. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So think of what, you know, if you were watching Fisher Spassky play chess.
Yeah.
You know, and they were sitting there and there's a large screen behind it.
What's the biggest crowd those guys ever got for chess when it was?
I don't think
it started to get big and then it's kind of fizzled.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they got big crowds, right?
Well, I think this is amazing. So who determines if a new game becomes an it game? Is there a big competition to be like a new game? Is it going to stay with the ones that are there like for a while?
The market, the players, the actual consumers decide if a game is fun. And, you know, for the publishers, this is gravy because all this is free visibility for their games that then people go out and buy to play at home.
What does that game cost? Because I'm so totally out of the loop.
League of Legends has a new game coming out in October. I think that's one of the reasons why Blizzard Activision stock is likely to pop from where it is, about 45% off its highs. That game will cost around $100. They recently announced the price.
And you do have to buy it. You can't copy it. You can't.
I don't think there's workarounds. Right. I believe you have to buy the game.
Okay, but it's $100 isn't horrible. It's not like it's $1,000.
Right.
But you don't need a special box to or a console to play it.
You have to play on an Xbox or the on an Xbox or there's another console too.
I'm thinking like the old Nintendo games where you had to buy a specific Nintendo console to play Nintendo games.
That's correct. Yeah.
Any Xbox.
You have to have a player on the console, but you can download the game directly to your television. You know, I'm not completely certain on that game itself, but some games require a console, some can be downloaded and played, you know, cloud-based games. And then you still, of course, have to have the controls.
Hmm. This is fascinating. SP Futures up 1575 now. NASDAQ Futures up 60. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Brendan Cornan. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph talking about some pretty wild stuff. And how come I'm not involved in any of this stuff investment-wise? This is better. Matt, why don't we, Matty, we get the stocks.
I'm wondering why you're not involved as a player.
Well, we know why. That. I mean,
he's a player.
Yeah, he's a player. He's not that kind of player.
400 moves a minute. I can just see you on the controls of that, Chief.
You know what? It's probably a lot like trading in a pit on a busy day.
There you go.
Yeah. But how many years ago was that? I did that. SP Futures now up 17 and a quarter. NASDAQ Futures up 67. We're riding this horse of, the Fed dropping things. The day that happens, I'm wondering if you want to be a seller, but who knows when that's going to happen. Dow Futures up 130. Got rallies all over the place. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 155. That's 1.3%. FTSE up 35.5%. CAC around up 44.8. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 69.3%. Shanghai up 73, 2.6%. So, let's see. China's economy is going in a rat hole. Everybody, you know, no matter what statistic you see, we have they and us because their presidents appear to be on. My market's higher than yours. We're pumping markets up even though the economies are going down. It's bizarre. Hang Seng up 210.7%. But it's the world we live in. Oil up 41 cents, 53.67. Brent only up 6 cents, 62.35. RBOB 175. So getting it, RBOB gas is down, pushing 40 cents in the last 6 weeks, and yet stuff at the pump is higher. That's kind of bizarre. Silver up a penny, gold down 350. We've got bonds. We've got the 10-year 2.17. The Bund minus 0.22. So they've gone negative again. And the Japanese 10-year minus 0.1. So even though we're low, I guess we're relatively high. Mitty, what do you got for us, Travy Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. This sports weather and traffic report is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. We have a couple of issues to report already this morning. Eden's inbound side at Toohey Avenue, there's a crash blocking the left lane. That's causing all kinds of issue as you're heading into the merge with the Kennedy there. So give yourself plenty of time if you're coming in on the North Shore. Kennedy traffic is building as well, but no accidents to report. Same could be said for the Eisenhower in both directions. Stevenson had an earlier crash at Damon, that's all clear. Now there's a new one out in the southwestern suburbs, northbound side of I-55, just before Lockport Road. That's blocking the right lane. No issues on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. That earlier crash on I-80 that involved the motorcycle, that's clear as well. But the I-80 is moving slower than normal because of that earlier crash. Off the expressways, not too far from where we live, Chief, in Lincoln Park, there is a crash at Ashland and Cortland with entrapment, and that has emergency crews on the scene there, and that has Ashland highly congested at Cortland. One other crash to report is out in the northwestern suburbs, Lake Street, right at Route 59. There is an accident. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, a beautiful day in Chicagoland. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 78. Right now it is sunny and 62 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a hot one, partly cloudy with a high of 108. Right now it's clear and 86. In sports, Cubs blew a four-run lead, lost in Colorado to the Rockies last night 6-5. White Sox were blown out by the Nationals 12-1. Diamondbacks took care of the Phillies 13-8. And the NBA Finals will extend to a Game 6 as Golden State topped Toronto by 1, 106-105 last night. Raptors lead 3-2. Kevin Durant is out for the foreseeable future. The Warriors believe that he ruptured his Achilles last night. Chief.
Oh, that's not good.
That's going to go into next year for that kind of recovery.
Yep,
that's a year easy. What so Manny Ashland and Cortland? If ever is a spot to be an idiot, that's not the spot. Because for those that don't know, it's underneath a total railroad overpass, so you can't see either direction when you come through. So you really need to be careful. So if two cars both decide they're going to make that one, you have no idea before you're hit that you were hit.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, though, traffic is so busy this time of morning in that area. How fast could you have been going? I mean, I assume that, you know, it was Ashland was jammed up. It usually is this time of morning, but I don't know.
It's crazy. Last night on the way home, some guy, I was in the regular lane, and some dude, he was doing like 45. He never even, there were two people waiting for the light. He swung into the right turn lane and went through at 45, never even... And then caught the green just as it turned. Or if there was somebody other coming the other way, just running through the red, that would have been ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're seeing.
There was a weird thing on Lakeshore Drive last night up by Fullerton. A car just pulled over to the side and burst into flames. There were fire engines there. They had traffic northbound right by Fullerton. It was incredible. I mean, that Fullerton Lakeshore Drive area has seen a lot in the last week or so. There was a like at midnight over the weekend one night, somebody was shot on the drive going northbound, and then yesterday morning there was a guy who drove off of Lakeshore Drive and onto the bike path and crashed, and then this car just started on fire last night on Lakeshore Drive.
Well, the guy killed somebody in the restaurant on
87th and Wood.
Yeah,
and I know where that is. I used to live right over there.
Our old stomping grounds.
Yeah, that was right near Amity Bank at Amity Federal Savings,
which I think is now closed.
Yes, it
is. Did the driver make it out of the car?
The driver was an off-duty cop who was charged with DUI.
You're talking about Lakeshore Drive. You're talking about...
Oh, no, the Lakeshore Drive.
I did not see an ambulance there, so I think that they got out. There were fire engines that had blocked the entire northbound lanes while the car was on fire.
Yes, the off-duty cop, what he blows 0.083, and they charge him with a DUI.
Yeah. Well, that's because the woman in the restaurant died.
Yeah.
And apparently he claimed that he was cut off, and that's what caused him to lose control of his car. But I haven't heard that they verified that yet. So
yeah, I'm guessing it.
There's a difference between, you know, somebody cutting you off and causing a crash, or if you just lost control of the car because you were impaired.
And you weren't going to the legal limit if you cross everything and go into a restaurant.
Well, if you go through the wall of the restaurant, you're probably not going really slowly.
It's
they're probably not going to give you dessert either.
Yeah.
So no more extra fries.
Jeff, so what if you had a... pick a pyramid here. How many of the people involved, the teams and the machines and all the other stuff, how many of those are publicly traded versus people buying them versus angel investors versus self-funded? Is it pretty much all over the map?
There's a lot of private money that came in last year. We tallied about $800 million in private investment. Mm-hmm. All celebrity-driven, everyone from Meg Whitman to Ariana Grande, you know, was an investor in esports. But that's predominantly private companies. The public companies did over the top 10 public companies with gaming revenues did over $100 billion in gaming revenues last year. And those are the usual suspects, and we list them all in this report. So there's
the guys selling the games, selling the equipment, selling that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of public plays. Again, you know, Activision Blizzard and Nintendo and Tencent, and of course Google now with a new play called Stadia, which is a cloud-based. It's going directly after the console. So Google has a new cloud-based gaming platform that would eliminate an individual's need to own a console to play the game, eliminate that hardware, and that would only expand the audience. And
well,
you still need
something to move the thing, right?
You'll just need controls, right?
Yeah, okay.
A controller, but not a console. That's a so that only expands the potential audience. So the wind is at its back for this. You know, valuations implied by the teams are probably higher than they should be right now, but there is no reason to assume that there's going to be an abatement. They expect this high school sports league expects to have over 100,000 players by next year. So you have a farm team of young people coming up into the game. They're paying scholarships. The prize monies are getting bigger and bigger. There's going to be a projected $30 million purse for League of Legends tournament. Later this year?
The college you mentioned, not that you have to make money on it, because obviously, I'm just trying to wonder when Title IX is going to get involved in this. But right. I mean, once you get past a few sports in college, nobody makes any money on the other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the question: what is the budget for, say, just pick a college, XYZ? They bring 10 people in on scholarship and they ship people on the road. I can't imagine them flying people there, but say they're on the bus and putting people up and all that. What's the budget for this? And is there any revenue?
I don't know. Don't know.
Well, thinking about the educational level at the college or the high school level, what kind of academics are involved in this? Or is it really just reaction time? Like, you know, I think of playing video games as purely reaction time, and you don't need to know a lot of science or math or things like that. It's just, you know, how quickly you can maneuver the controls. Is it evolving into something where STEM is necessary to improve your skills at these games?
Well, what I do know about that question, and speaking to some of the players and some of the coaches, is that there clearly are elements of game theory involved in the team games. So there are individual games and there are team games. And the team games, they use a lot of game theory approaches and game theory dilemmas. So, example, if we do this collectively as a team, how will our opponents react? So they think there's a lot of physics, there's a lot of strategy, there's a lot of behavioral psychology involved, and that better players exhibit higher attributes and traits in all those areas. Hmm. So, you know, I can't speak more specifically to what their skill set might be, but, you know, it's logical to make a lot of parallels between a chess player or, you know, a Pente player. And, you know, a lot of this is about what your opponents are going to do. And it's not just strictly reaction time. You're thinking ahead. You have a strategy and you have a plan and you're thinking many moves ahead. So I think you make the case that this is on par with what it takes to be a good chess player.
And would they have classes in college or high school for this?
They have classes.
How to develop for the psychology and the game application or the strategy?
There are college-level curriculums at many, many universities now in esports, and now with a high school esports league emerging and expanding to more and more schools, there are children that are learning the game at high school as well.
Hmm. So, Chief, you could have taken e-gaming in high school instead of mechanical drawing.
I was not even that good. I was actually okay at pinball, but I wasn't, you know, great at it. Some guys were, hey, John, what do you know about e-sports?
What do I know about what?
E-sports.
Not a heck of a lot, to be honest with you.
We're learning too. We're learning, too. So I guess, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I should know, but since they're some combination of federally funded and too much money. You know, colleges at some point they can have a. This is going to sound weird, but you can have a women's or for that matter men's swim team that never charges a dime to get in the place, is a total, I'll say, revenue loser because you always have, or you can say you need the women's swim team, which, you know, doesn't lose any more than the men's swim team because Title IX and blah blah blah. How do you? I mean, at some point. I guess you don't really justify the chess team either, but you start talking about, I don't know if anybody ever got a chess scholarship. I guess my question is, how do these schools at this point, there must be a way of getting the best kids. They must also be, the kids they're getting must also be the smartest kids that are giving them, they're giving them scholarships. I'm thinking, they're not trying to get them in like the football, deep back or something. I mean, doesn't, somehow you weasel him in the door where he doesn't belong there. These people must be good students on top of it, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I what I've heard is that since it is anticipated that the NCAA will make a move in this space, that they want to be able to field teams at the college level to participate. Mm. So, much of this seems to be anticipatory, recognizing that they likely are good students, at least in some areas. And, still early to say what the college level motivation is, but they are paying material scholarships, and the quote was that we have more scholarships that we are willing to pay than we have students that are applying for them.
Well, I'm guessing that the colleges don't care if they're good students, and it's all about making money. And they anticipate that a league that will make money is potentially in the future, and they want to get in at the ground level.
Well that's what I was asking the question about.
Yeah. I don't think they care about the students, whether they're smart or not, just like they don't care about the football players, whether they're smart or not. I don't think they care about the classes. I think it's all about money.
I agree, which is why I was asking the question before about what kind of academics they need to play these in. I was surprised about the game strategy classes and things like that, because I agree with Maddie's comment that I don't think they care at all about the students who are participating in this. If they can bring credibility to the school as being an e-sports school, like a football powerhouse or a basketball powerhouse.
All right, so I guess the next question has to be, if that's the truth, how many years away are we from Creighton, who I believe is in the Big East, right, Maddie? Coming to play DePaul esports and them having 15,000 people in the basketball arena watching it.
Oh, I think we're within a couple years of that.
Really?
For sure.
Okay.
If not this year.
All right. Well, then that's I'd be all for it too if I was at college. Right. I mean, what might be interesting is we've talked about John. You've been on a couple times with Kevin when the NCAA power is getting, I use the term bifurcated. If it wasn't for the NCAA basketball tournament, they don't have any revenue. And the conferences have totally taken over the other sports. I mean, the NCAA doesn't tell the SEC anything about football. The SEC does whatever they damn well please, pretty much. It'd be interesting to see if this becomes a conference-dominated sport or an NCAA-dominated sport, since it is something new, basically, right? Then who ends up taking the lead on this? Wonder how that's going to play out. What do you think, Manny?
I mean, the NCAA is always going to try to get their hands on money.
Right.
I haven't heard the NCAA, being involved in any way, shape, or form yet.
No.
It sounds like some, sort of forward-thinking schools are taking the first steps, and the traditional schools will probably be last, as they usually are. So we'll see.
Well, who are the powerhouse colleges? I mean, when you're talking about conferences for the NCAA, conferences for esports, would you expect to see somebody like the SEC coming into a power, or the Ivy League, or the Pac-12 or something? Or is it a combination of what you would think of as more academic-driven schools or smaller schools or conferences that may not even have a football program or a baseball program? Where are they coming from? Because I think those dynamics would play out in an NCAA setting, too, as far as what the NCAA could come in and force on the ground level.
Right. Someone like MIT.
You would think.
So, right. So Miami University of Ohio was the first school, according to a Google search I just did, to offer esports scholarships. Boise State has a program, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, University of Cal Irvine. So it's growing across the country. University of Akron, University of Utah, Western Kentucky, College of St. Joseph, which is in Vermont, Bellevue University, which is in Nebraska. That's the first Midwestern one I've seen. So it's definitely growing. And then, there's some, like, DigiPen Institute of Technology in Seattle. Mostly smaller schools, but some name-brand schools. But like I said, the Big Tens and the SECs and those schools will always be the last to anything. And
we're still worried about football.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I'm interested. Morningside College, which is in Iowa, I guess. I don't know where that's at, but...
I'm not sure they offer a scholarship. I don't think I go to a college called Bellevue. Isn't that the mental institution in New York?
Yeah, it sounds like one, right? Yeah,
wasn't that where they put the guy in Miracle on 34th Street? Didn't he go to Bellevue?
I think so, yeah. Hey, Jan, while we have you, bud, what do you make of this? Yeah. We're up 1650. We've been there since we walked in. Is this going to be 7 days in a row? How many more days before we either steady up or head south or something? It seems like quite a run on the tariff fight that, I don't know, we set it up and then we pretty much declared victory before anybody knows what the victory is.
That part is true, and I think we'll have a little bit more of a move in my humble opinion here, Tom.
This week? Is there going to be a day this week we want to turn the bus around?
I think maybe getting towards the weekend or maybe come Friday, maybe you take a little bit of a move down, but I think we'll be so much strong going into that, and if not, they'll probably pop some news out there to keep it going.
You got any people in this Beyond Meat? It's down $19 now.
No, not at all. How about you?
I had somebody in it yesterday, and I got him out yesterday, so I feel pretty good about that. Even though it wasn't a very big position, but it was what did it come out at? And IPO was under 100, wasn't it? By a long way, I think. I'm not positive, but it was they're going to try and be a chain or something that's Beyond Meat, or are they going to sell it in stores? I don't even know. Before the thing even came up there, every day it was just up. What?
Right. That's it. It was almost crazy. I wanted to try it because out here they, sell it in a grocery store called Sprouts, which is pretty popular. I don't know if you have them in that end. They haven't gotten around to doing it yet, but I just wanted to see what all the hubbub's about.
It's probably in a whole paycheck, I guess. Hey, Jan, I was mentioning to Jeff that you're a big audiophile, too. He's into music. What's your album count up to?
Oh, heck, I got somewhere in the neighborhood at about 10,000.
That's a number.
Yep.
That's a number.
They're all in good shape?
Well, I mean, everybody that collects records, you're going to have, you try to get the best shape you can, but the rarer the item is, the lower you'll go in grade, per se, and then, try to keep working yourself up, but, I try to keep in good quality vinyl, that I can still play.
Or either you or...
In my playing collection.
Are either you or Jeff going to the 50th anniversary of Woodstock?
I think they canceled it. Believe me, I was really interested in going. But
they did cancel it?
It's not clear.
Yeah, they did.
They did cancel it, right? Okay.
My buddy from California had tickets. Why is it canceled, out of curiosity, or nobody knows?
I'm not sure that they gave a reason, but I had that thought.
Who's
back of my head, that'd be cool to go to.
Who's still alive that would be able to play?
Santana. Canned Heat.
Plant. Robert Plant.
I think the Country Joe and the Fish were going to play, weren't they?
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive.
There were a lot of new artists that were lined up, too. Yeah, big new artists.
Wow. My buddy's been sending around the music stuff, and I'm going to say the rendition of On the Road Again at Woodstock by Canned Heat is one of the best.
The best. My very first album.
Okay.
Boogie with Canned
Heat. I'll tell you what, if you get a chance, those guys still tour around. I've seen them several times, and there's still a few of them that are original in that band. They're fantastic. They play pretty smaller venues now, but they still tour around, and they're fantastic.
Speaking of trends, though, I'm looking right here. Your vinyl collection seems to be riding a trend. It says that in 2018, 16.8 million vinyl albums were sold, according to Nielsen. That's up 14.6% from last year, making the 13th consecutive year of growth for vinyl sales.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, don't a lot of people buy them for the album cover and the artwork? Isn't that what a lot of people buy them for now?
Yeah, I think so. From my opinion, I think so. I think it's still an issue if you have something in your hand, something a little special, just like the old days with reading the lyrics and things like that, and the different artwork. I mean, what are you going to see on a CD,
What does a decent turntable cost these days?
Well, I mean, you could get, you can go anywhere from a couple hundred bucks to a thousand, but, I still have my old ones. I just had, over the years, I've had to change the needles. I keep three in the house. So hopefully I'm good forever.
God, I would say so. So, Jan, any hope for, we got 30 seconds, any hope for a gold coming back here? Took a hit yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're going to have just a slight move down, and that allowed me to kind of get in balance yesterday, Tom. So, I was pleased about that. There's that little pullback as I was kind of get everything lined up again in a nice fashion.
Well, good for you. All right, Jan, thank you very much. S&P futures up 16. We've been there since we came in. NASDAQ futures up 63. It's been bizarre. We were up 23 yesterday and sat there for 5 hours. I'm moving a bit. We reach a number up or down, and then we're just very comfortable with it for hours on end. Really crazy trading. Jeff, thank you. Brendan, thank you. Matty Weber, thank you. Very interesting. Now I got to scramble around. I can't wait for the new issue. Maybe I'll buy some of these stocks. We'll be right back tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.